racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Well, I gotta be honest, it took a few days of driving to get here, but it's the Global Gathering of Golf, the PGA Merchandise Show here in Orlando, Florida. Hi, I'm Bob Bubka, proud to be working with Jay Randolph Jr., much better known as the STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Jay, I hate to pass this on, but I do hear kids swimming in the pool and that big old thermometer on the wall, a brilliant 72 degrees. I know it's not that way in St. Louis.
Well, Bob and Janice, I envy you being down there in Orlando, but I've done it 9 or 10 times. It's always interesting, and I know you're going to have a great week.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely incredible what's going to transpire here. I mean, some of the numbers, Jay, are just staggering. There's going to be an excess of 40,000 club professionals, golf buyers, and retailers from over 90 countries. There's over 1,000 exhibits that are going to be taking place on the showroom floor. About 1,000 in media will be attending. All the great teachers are going to be gathered here, golf and fitness and wellness demonstrations. I don't think I'll get too close to any of those, but certainly a lot going on, and a new product zone. I always like going there. You get to see exactly what's coming on board, and they do have an equipment test center on the showroom floor. So you want to hit a driver, you want to try some irons, you want to try this, you want to try that, it is available. 1 million square feet, Jay, exhibition space. And if you want to see every booth, you better be prepared to walk about 13 miles. That's going up and down every aisle. They do have those segways. I may be leaning towards getting a segue, but I'm afraid I'll have a multitude of lawsuits on my hands if I jump on one of those.
Well, I want to see you on a segue, even if you don't ride it. I want to see that on Twitter, Bob. But it's a unique gathering. I kind of call it, you know, for the golf geeks out there that have never been or love the game or not in it in the industry. It's something they should see, because it's like the Disney, being in Orlando, it's like the Disney World of golf. I mean, everything, the key people in the industry, you know, and this is so different from what we talk about a lot week to week, Bob, the PGA Tour. I mean, this is the industry itself getting together, and it's grown from a couple of hundred people with some station wagons to what it is today. It's really remarkable.
Yeah, you bring up a great point there, Jay. It actually started down at the Miami event. Some of the manufacturers would have their reps pull up into the parking lot. They'd open up their trunk. Pros would come by and see if they liked anything, and it's blossomed into this. And now this year, believe it or not, there's going to be a racket and paddle sports conference going on at the same time, and performance textile fair, which is going to offer special access to fabric mills and performance fabrics. But, you know, kind of weird, but we'll see how it all works out. I want to start off this show because a lot of people listening not having access to a golf course this time of the year. Certainly people at Normandy are chomping at the bit to get back out there. But this is what happened to a lifelong friend. I want to describe him as that. He'd been playing golf for so many years. Now, this all transpires on one hole, so I want you to listen very carefully to what happened to this individual. He tees off, he's in a tournament, he tees off on a hole, only to later find out it was the wrong tee. But while he was on while he was on that tee, he wanted to take full advantage of hitting back from where the tee marker is, and you're allowed a certain length. So he takes his putter out and measures how far back he can go without a violation, which was good. He was in the allotted drop area, but come to find out, you can measure with every club but your putter. So he committed an infraction there. He then drove his tee shot into the water, had to replay, drove it into a bunker alongside of another fellow competitor, ended up playing the wrong ball out of the bunker, got it on the fairway, then he shanked it to the right of the green, and then he finally chipped on the green, and he four-putted and proudly walked to the next hole. So maybe you're not missing golf as much as you guys think you are because there's snow on the ground. Just think, that hole like that could be in your future.
Has your friend thought about tennis? My goodness, that's unbelievable in this year of all the new rules changes as well, and that's unbelievable. You know, Bob, the merchandise show really changed when it used to be a show where golf professionals would go down and they would, you know, make their orders for the year. At that time, you'd buy a set of, you'd order a set of clubs, you'd put them on a rack in the pro shop, and you'd hope to sell them that year. And a lot of guys ended up with a lot of inventory and stuff like that. Well, as the custom fitting and the technology age came to be, you began to be able to start get custom fitted and get clubs back in a couple of days. So you didn't necessarily have to do all your buying in January and carry that inventory. And the show suffered a little bit. It lost attendance. It kind of went down. But the PGA of America was able to create enough stuff, and the manufacturers still have enough to show their wares and what is coming, that it works. But, I envy you guys, like I said, this week down there in Orlando.
Yeah, and something special going to be taking place, too. PGA CEO Seth Waugh, good friend of the show, and PGA President Susie Whaley, who also is a big fan of the Grill Room, they're going to pay tribute to PGA Hope, military veterans, and the PGA's 2018 Patriot Award winner, Ken June, in the opening ceremonies. That's going to take place tomorrow, and we plan on being there for that festivities. This is the 66th PGA merchandise show, so it certainly has a rich history.
No doubt, Bob, it certainly does. And again, we see our game and the armed services or veterans working so well together. It's tremendous the way our game or sport has been so involved with the military and veterans over the last couple of years with a lot of different organizations. It's fantastic. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Group Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker, Alexa, "Hey, Alexa, play the Grill Room Golf Show," and you'll be connected. Now, I'm excited. It's been a great couple of days. When we come back, we're going to take a short break, and we'll take a look at the newest winner, a St. Louis kid, Adam Long, on the PGA Tour. Don't you dare go anywhere.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. He's Jay Randolph Jr. I'm Bob Bupker, and so happy to have you joining us in The Grill Room as we come to you from the PGA Merchandise Show. But there was some golf last week. Golf very special to the people of St. Louis and all the good people that play out at Normandy. Phil was the man to beat all week, opened up with that 60, but he had to go low. And to win on the PGA Tour now, you have to go long. And Jay, a good buddy of yours, is that's exactly what he did.
It was an incredible weekend to see it build from Thursday on for Adam Long, a young man who, well, I say young man, 31 years old, he's young to me, went to school at Francis Howell here in St. Louis, went to Duke, had a good amateur career, and is one of those guys like in the old days, a journeyman. It took him a little time. He was close to shutting it down, but he persevered, played just about every tour out there. And finally, last season, Bobby strung together 17 cuts in a row on the web.com tour, earned enough money to get his card, and lo and behold, in his first season on the PGA Tour, in just his sixth PGA Tour event, Bob, he wins. Let me give you some weird stuff. It was Phil Mickelson's 499th cut made. It was Adam Long's second. Adam Long, in his previous five events on the PGA Tour, had been plus 20, and he goes 26 down over the 4 days. So, you know, it's one of those Zeke stories, but it really, not a pun, it hits home with me because he's from St. Louis. Now, born in New Orleans, but their family moved here when he was young, and now he lives in Jupiter. But you ask Adam Long what his hometown is, it's St. Louis, Missouri.
Well, I know you're going to enjoy this, Jay, and certainly everybody in the St. Louis area and golf fans around the world. Certainly an unbelievable achievement and only his sixth start. And let's give it some insight to our listeners on Long's thoughts going into that final day.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little surreal, honestly, when I got the text that I was paired with Phil and Adam Hadwin. I mean, that was cool in itself. Like, hey, I'm playing with Phil on a Sunday, and let alone the final group. But, you know, I was nervous and excited. I had all kinds of feelings going on, and couldn't have been a better group, though, to play with. And a huge thanks to them, really, for making me feel comfortable and like I belonged to be there. And you know, I couldn't ask for two better guys to play with. They're both really complimentary and outgoing and you know, obviously terrific golfers. But yeah, it was definitely a little bit of the Phil and Adam Hadwin show, no doubt. There's a lot of Canadians down here, and you couldn't go five steps without hearing a shout out to Phil. But you know, I kind of hung out in their shadows and tried to just keep hitting fairways and greens, and I didn't know what to expect or what was going to happen or how I'd feel coming down the stretch, but I felt fine, and I didn't know what was going to happen, but I just kept plugging away, and finally got up there to 18 with a chance to win the tournament. And I tried not to think too much about it. I didn't want to what it could mean or what this or that. I was just trying to stay in the moment and try to make a putt. That's all it was. But when that thing went in, I've never felt that like that in my life.
You know, Jay, he just sounds like somebody that you would love to have as your next-door neighbor, somebody you'd love to have in your foursome, somebody you'd love to have just go have a cup of coffee with. That St. Louis upbringing, I think, is wearing well on Mr. Long.
Well, and I don't think the Duke education hurts either. You know, he hadn't won a golf tournament in a long time. He won once or twice at Duke and then won on the Hooters Tour. But we're back again to giving credit, I think, to the web.com tour. Bob, you said it off the bat. You got to go low out there. These kids that come from the web.com tour have to go low every week. It's not just when they get on tour at the Hope. It's every week on that web.com tour. Rarely do you see a web.com tour event that's not you know, the winner's not 14 or 15 under par. So again, credit to the web.com tour, credit to Adam Long and the Perseverance, a life-changing experience. Now, essentially 2.5 years of an exemption, a direct 2-year exemption, the Masters. I put on his Facebook, I think you're going to like Georgia in April. So it's really cool, and I'm hoping to interview him later in the week.
And, of course, he'll be in Maui next January playing in that tournament of champions. You know what I'm starting to think, though? The trend in golf, Mr. Randolph, is maybe you're predestined to be a winner on the PGA Tour. You might have to have the right name. A guy named Champ, he wins. A guy named Long, he wins. What's going on here? All of these are like if you were doing a Hollywood movie, that's what you would name the golfers in the golf movie.
Yeah, I mean, the only guy we don't have a guy named Jim Winner yet, but maybe he's out there playing. What did you think? You know, a lot of people, you know, Phil played pretty well in that final round. I mean, he didn't putt well, but he hit the ball well. You know, he was looking for victory number 44. You know, the unique thing about Adam Long winning, you know, there's so many things about it, but he'd never even met Phil Mickelson. And I thought, you know, Phil fought through the putting woes and gave himself a chance at the end, just didn't get it done.
Yeah, no, a great performance by Phil. I think it bodes well for 2019. I know for a fact, Jay Randolph Jr., there's only one event on the calendar this year that has a big Phil Mickelson circle around it, and that's going to be at Pebble Beach in June, U.S. Open. One more chance probably to complete that career Grand Slam at a place that, you know, he knows he's going to be loved out there. I mean, can you imagine the scene on the 18th hole at Pebble Beach on Sunday, Father's Day, and if Phil has clinched victory and completes a Grand Slam, what a Hollywood story that would be.
I'm getting goosebumps. You know, I'm not a fan of Brandel Chamblee, and I saw a tweet. The Golf Channel had asked the question, was Phil Mickelson a top 10 player of all time? I believe he is. Certainly, if my goodness, Bob, the picture Bob paints at Pebble Beach were to happen, no question. But Brandel came up with some statistical thing from some guy and listed the top 15, and it drove me bananas. But you know, and to each his own who they think is in the top 10. But could you imagine if Phil Mickelson captured the career Grand Slam at Pebble Beach, where he played in his first professional tournament, I believe, at Pebble Beach in 1992. Well, not his first professional tournament. Don't be texting. His first tournament as a professional, and shot something like 69-82 to miss the cut.
And how about if it came as a trifecta after Rory McIlroy winning at the Masters?
Oh, stop.
And Jordan Spieth winning at the PGA Championship. And then Phil Mickelson. We got five guys that have won all four majors. We could get three more this year. Good golly, Miss Molly, I'm getting dizzy just thinking about it. But I'm very happy to give a Grill Room shout-out. I want you to join me in this one, Jay Randolph Jr., to Tom Lehman. A big, big win over in Hawaii. Shoots a 65 on the final day to overtake David Toms. It's a winners-only tournament for PGA Tour champions. And, boy, what a champion Tom Lehman is, not only on the golf course, but off the golf course. You'd be hard-pressed to meet a better guy than Tom Lehman.
Classy individual, no question about that. And no spring chicken as it relates to those guys. He's 59, playing against those younger guys. in some of those. Bob, everybody's been talking about it and getting excited for this week because he's back. Tiger Woods is back, and he's back in a familiar place, obviously, where he's got a lot of trophies from, and that's Torrey Pines in La Jolla, California. You're not going to find a lot of places nicer than that.
No, it's certainly one of the highlights, and Tiger loves it there. He's going to be playing, but not only Tiger, Rory McIlroy going to be making his first appearance there. Should be very exciting. Tiger going to be paired with Tony Finau and Xander Schauffele. That's going to be an interesting threesome, to say the least. All eyes are going to be focused on Tiger Woods now, 43 years old. Father Time starting to creep up. But when you see Phil Mickelson last week having a chance to win, you know, he's 48 years old. So 43 for Tiger, he's 5 years younger than Phil. Hey, he's got to be in good shape.
Everything a process for Tiger now as it relates to being ready. I mean, we got the feeling last year, even as he won at the Tour Championship, that it was wearing on him a little bit physically. He's had some time off. We'll see how he comes back from the first time playing in a tournament since his deal in Bermuda. I'll be curious to see. Torrey Pines is not the type of golf course where you want to find your game. You kind of need to have it going in, especially on that South course. You know, Rahm played good last week. He comes back as a former winner here when he kind of said hello world in his own way. You got Ricky Fowler, who, you know, has kind of fallen a little bit off some of the discussion. And then Jordan Spieth, who, you know, I'm tracking to see what's going on.
And, of course, Jason Day, the defending champion, going to be interesting to see what kind of form he's going to bring. Justin Rose going to be in that field. I'll say this much about the Farmers Insurance Open. Boy, they got a solid field with all those
yep.
names that we mentioned. I mean, when you can put together Day, Rose, and Woods, and McIlroy, and Rahm, and Spieth, you got a pretty good tournament going on. And, of course, Cameron Champ is going to be there. A lot of eyes are going to be focused on Cameron, see how far he can hit it through that fog that always seems to be present when we get to Torrey Pines.
And Bob, Adam Long, who we talked about earlier with his win, obviously is in the field at the Desert Classic. He was going to Monday qualify for it if he didn't finish in the top 10 at the Desert Classic, but he took care of all that with the victory. And I think this is going to be a fantastic week. You know, you talked about the field and with Rory and Rose and some of the international players, a lot of guys got to the point where they were waiting for the Florida swing. Not anymore. You know, guys are playing the West Coast, especially the international players.
No, good point there, Jay. And, you know, it's all related to the FedEx Cup points. You don't want to get that far behind, you know, the 10 million, or actually, I take that back, 20 million, 10, that $10 million prize apparently wasn't big enough for the current crop of players, so they upped the ante a little bit to somewhere around $15 million, I think. So that's gotten everybody's attention. It's going to be interesting to see. You know, we got all the big names. We had a lot of big names last week, but we got a new big name in Adam Long that comes up with victory. Maybe this week again, despite the star power at the top, somebody from the bottom of the pack certainly can come and manifest their skills and achieve a victory. That's really the way it's gotten on the PGA Tour, Jay. It seems like you don't have to be, you know, somebody that's been around for a long while. I think the current crop of younger players are more prepared to win on the PGA Tour early on than ever in PGA Tour history.
Don't forget, if you'd like to drop us a line or give us your thoughts or opinion on the show, we'd love to hear from you. Or if you want to send a couple $100, go ahead. But we're talking about contacting us via Twitter. I'm STL Golf Geek on Twitter, while Bob, the VOG, the voice of golf, Bob Bubka, VOG. Check us out on Twitter. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa to play The Grill Room Golf Show and you'll be connected. Well, it's not just all fun in the sun for Bob and Janice down at the Merchandise Show. When we come back, we'll hear a special interview from Bob that he found on the floor of the Merchandise Show.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at the Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Every year we come to the Merchandise Show and we hope to find something new, something exciting, something different. It's not an easy task, especially when it comes to golf clubs. Golf clubs have been around for a long, long time. Well, much to our surprise, we stumbled upon a Blink's driver. We're going to specifically talk about the driver. They make other clubs for sure, but a driver called the Prowler VT with switch face technology. Stephanie Zinzer and her husband Steve Elford are the owners. Stephanie, in layman's terms, what makes your driver different than any other driver on this showroom floor?
It is a completely new concept. We've had adjustable drivers around for quite some time now, and as everyone knows, the adjustability mechanism lies within the hosel of the club. And when you adjust that, it turns the club face inwards or outwards to a small degree to enable you to make a perception shift in the apparent lie angle of your club. Of course, this has a couple of issues. One, because the striking face of the club actually doesn't change in relation to the golf club head in the slightest, but also because when you have adjusted your driver and it's towed in or towed out a little bit, of course, the first thing you do when you present your driver to the ball is manually turn it back so it's square, which is perhaps slightly self-defeating, but that's what we've had so far, and it's worked really well for a lot of people, and I'm not going to knock the technology because it has been an improvement. What we decided to do, and this has been 10 years in the making, is to try to see if we can actually do something pure to the face itself. And what we've constructed is, particularly as the advancements of metals and engineering techniques like CNC milling have become much more available or available, we have been able to construct a head where you physically remove the whole of the face and you can then reattach another face onto the head, which has that loft, whether it's open, closed or square, already built into the strike face of the driver. So when you are putting your driver down against the ball, you're always putting it square, and therefore your club sits fantastically well. Visually, it's going to be great to watch and easy to use.
And when you buy one of these Lynx drivers, it doesn't come just with the face there. You actually get a selection of another face, which may be a lower loft, higher loft, whatever you think would help your game. I would suspect that people would take their normal loft and then maybe even take a lower loft when they know they're going to go out and play in windy conditions.
Exactly. And the possibilities are endless. At the moment, we're concentrating on 5 key lofts, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Within that, we can have 1 or 2 degrees open or shut. We can have square faces. You can even go, obviously, on hot faces and anything you like. I mean, the possibilities literally are endless.
We're talking with Stephanie Zinser. And Stephanie, I must compliment you on your packaging does not contain any plastic. And I think that's so impressive.
Thank you. It was something that struck us as really important last year when we were on holiday, actually, enjoying a very clear, pristine beach. And there's certainly in the UK and Europe, there's been a lot of talk about sea pollution and plastics, single-use plastics that are tossed away. So we said, well, let's see if we can do something from it, because it's not good enough to lay all the blame at the hands of the consumer. You know, they're not the ones going and pitching straws into the sea. It's coming from everywhere. And as a manufacturer, we thought if we can get rid of all the plastics that we send out to our consumers, then we're doing our bit to help, and hopefully people will follow by example.
So if we want the millions of people that play golf make the switch to Lynx equipment, what's the best website for them to get a hold of you?
Well, we're just gone live with our LynxGolfUS.com website, which people will be able to get stuff on. And we are also available on LynxGolf.co.uk to see our entire range of products. And we'd love for people to come and have a look. We've got some fantastic stuff on there. We've got Ian Carter, the BBC reporter, doing a monthly blog on there. And it's a fun site.
Well, the equipment looks absolutely dynamic in person. So you want to improve your game? Trust me, give Lynx a try. Make the switch.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Our next guest from the PGA Merchandise Show, Eddie Marins. Hope you enjoy my chat with the little pro. Eddie, when I think of your contributions to the sport of golf, only one thing happens. I smile. And on behalf of golf fans everywhere, thank you for everything that you've done. It's been a good ride.
It's been a great ride. At age 86, I look back and I value every moment, Bob. And I'm so thankful to so many people.
And, of course, legendary career as golf coach at UCLA. Any particular fond memory of that experience, one that maybe sticks out just a little bit?
I know Brant Jobe is a popular player today on the senior tour. He's won on the senior tour. And Brant was our man who helped us win the NCAA championship in 1988. He finished second individually himself. But on the eve of the championship at North Ranch in Los Angeles, hosted by USC of all things, mind you, UCLA wins, so it couldn't have been more perfect. But on the eve of that championship, we're getting in the van in the parking lot at North Ranch Country Club to go back to the hotel, and the assistant coach, Ray Snyder, slammed the door on Brant's hand as he had it sticking in the door of the van. And it's a wonder the boy even played the next day, because it should have broken his hand into a jillion pieces. But he wound up finishing second individually and led us to victory in that championship.
Unbelievable how things like that happen. When you look at the game now, and we're speaking with Eddie Marins and going to try and focus through his lens for a little bit. What I see is at the professional level, I mean, it just doesn't seem like it could be any better, Eddie. I mean, the caliber of the young players. We got Tiger Woods, winning last year, looking for bigger and better things this year. But at the amateur level, I feel there's a decline or that golf is dropping off a little bit. Do you agree with that?
I think the young players today are, if anything, getting better because they at a younger age, they're beginning to succeed. Like the boy from Chile, who was the number one amateur player in the world, was only 18 years old, you know, and he was playing in the Masters. So he's come a long way, but he's representative of that ilk today. There are youngsters from all over the world doing major things in the game of golf. And reason being, they have the advantage of everything that went before them, meaning instruction, meaning competition, meaning the health kick they're on these days. In my day, from the 18th green, we used to go straight to the bar. Now they go to the fitness trailer. That's the difference. And these youngsters are beginning to do that from early on, even before they become teenagers. They're working out these days. And when they finally get into the competitive arena, they can hit it out of sight.
Eddie Marin's our special guest here in the Grill Room. If Eddie Marin's, as a player, could win only one major championship, which one would you pick?
I pick the U.S. Open because it's our major championship. You know, around the world, the British Open is termed to be the Open. But I haven't traveled the world that much, but I have traveled this country, and I love this country and the opportunity it's afforded me. So to win our national championship would have been the epitome. I did play in it 8 times, but I didn't come close to winning.
8 times is pretty good, great accomplishment in its own right. All right, we mentioned the fact that we're sitting in front of the book playing around with the little pro, A Life in the Game. You were telling me before we came on air, Eddie, that it's really a combination of some instruction on how to play this marvelous sport and some life stories that you've experienced along the way. Do I have it right?
You have that exactly right because, you know, as a professional at Bel Air, where I've been since 1962, I've had the opportunity to hobnob with some of the more famous people in this country. For instance, Bing Crosby was a member there for years. And, you know, Crosby was known as a golfer. He was known to be a golfer. But there's a great story about Crosby and his caddy, Snake. The man's name was Arnold Kirkaby, but his nickname was Snake. And Snake was there to greet Bing every time Bing came to play. And they had a pact between them. Every time Bing scored under par, par being 70, he'd get a suit of clothes. Bing would buy him a suit of clothes. And this one day, with Snake's help, you know, making sure that every putt went in the hole and no lie was too bad on the golf course, Bing came in with a score of 69. And as they walked from the 18th green through the tunnel that leads to the elevator at Bel Air that takes you up into the clubhouse, Snake turns to Bing and says, "Bing, if it's all right today, I think I'll take the cash because my tailor is on holiday."
great anecdote there. Eddie Marin's, a lot of that is in this book. You want a great read, please go out and get yourself a copy. Playing Around with the Little Pro, A Life in the Game. Eddie Marin's, always an honor to share a microphone with you. Keep up your good health, sir. Look forward to the next time we meet.
Me too, Bob. It's always fun with you. Keep that smile on your face.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.